listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Matthew Gutierrez joins us from The Athletic to talk NCAA tournament now that we are in the Sweet 16. How are you, Matthew?
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for having me on.
All of the superlatives that come to this thing, madness, it's crazy, it's unpredictable, exciting, yet here we sit in the Sweet 16 in a tournament so far that has been filled with upsets and even defining the upsets. Do you think this tournament has been weird, bizarre, different?
Oh, absolutely. This is one of those where you kind of look at your bracket and you just say, you know what, I'm going to enjoy the upsets here, because most brackets are not pretty at this point, but right. The basketball has been phenomenal to watch. I mean, a lot of good games, upsets. You had Kansas go down just last night. Iowa, Illinois is gone. Syracuse to the Sweet 16. Oral Roberts, great run. So just a lot of different clubs, a lot of really good teams that are surging right now, and just goes to show with this tournament, you know, not necessarily the best teams are going to advance. It's who's playing the best at just the right time.
We know that the Pac-12 now has four teams left. That's 25% of what's left in the Sweet 16. We also know that Michigan is the only Big Ten team left. In college football, we look at bowl games, and some people like to make definitive statements on how conferences do in these one-game bowls. We do the same thing with this tournament. Is that fair to make assessments on conferences based on this tournament?
Yes and no, I guess, right? I mean, you saw the regular season. You have much more of a quote-unquote body of work from that. So I think that's where I would put a lot of stock into. But for sure, I mean, last week and a half, where you've seen the surprise runs, I think that does play a role into it as well. So I think it's kind of a yes and no. I'm still kind of a regular season leaner, if you will, where if the conference or teams, you know, show over the course of 3-4 months how good they are, I think that is very telling, right? Whereas a 2-3 week tournament certainly is, but it's more indicative of recent play rather than overall play over the course of over one season.
The Pac-12, did a lot of people miss on this conference? I mean, one team is in because it won its conference tournament. Another had to be in the play-in game, and yet we have four teams left from that conference. Overall, how is Pac-12 basketball?
Yeah, I guess it's pretty good, right? That was the sneaky one. They are far and away.
Well, we lost him. We'll have to get Matthew Gutierrez back as he was talking about the Pac-12. I will continue the thought, and then we'll get Matthew on to finish it. When you look at the four teams that are left, right, USC was a team. All right, there we go. We know about USC. Colorado deserved to be in, played in its conference tournament final. UCLA was a bubble team, but got in, had to play Michigan State. Oregon State likely wouldn't have gotten in. They had to win their conference tournament, and they did, so the Beavers are still kicking around. And Oregon was a team we would assume would have gotten in anyway. So here we are, 16 teams left, and four of them are from a conference a lot of people didn't really pay attention to. Matthew Gutierrez is rejoining us here on Wake Up Call. So finish your thought about Pac-12 basketball.
Yeah, for sure. No, thank you. Well, call failed there out of nowhere. But no, I mean, look, with this whole season, I thought Big Ten, Big Ten, Big Ten, right? I think a lot of people did. We knew the ACC was down, but the Big Ten, I mean, just teams parked in the top 25 all season long. Obviously, Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois, Iowa. You go down the list, even to sort of the middle of the pack, the almost the end of that conference, in sort of Maryland, and they're a good club too that advanced to the round of 32 and just lost yesterday to Alabama. They did lose by 20. Alabama, a really good team out of the SEC. But you're right. I mean, the Pac-12 has just been phenomenal. You put USC just dominating Kansas. UCLA on to the Sweet 16 after that play-in game. A lot of really, really quality teams. I think just goes to show how sneaky that league was all season long.
It's one thing when you have these upsets where a team just kind of hangs around, and the time's just running out, and they make a key shot. But some of these upsets, some of these big teams went down without a real fight. I mean, Illinois never led in their game. Kansas got demolished. Iowa wasn't in their game either. Is there something to that that you take away from this tournament?
Yeah, I think that more plays into, you know, I think with for whatever reason, COVID does, I think, impact these lopsided scores, right? I'm not sure. I'm sure we'll get a stat from some place, maybe when the tournament's over, at the margins and how much how many more blowouts there were this year. It just seems like more double digit wins than ever before, even early on in the tournament. I think that will tighten up as we get later, with obviously Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four. Usually those games are obviously going to be closer in nature, but for sure, I think it just speaks to the kind of unorthodox of this season, right? You had a lot of teams go on 3-4 game winning streaks all year and then drop 3 or 4 in a row, and even good teams. So I think that really speaks to the difficulties of managing the COVID situation, whether you had a pause or a positive, or you're playing a team on short rest in this case. I think all that does kind of factor in here. And hey, the other thing might just be, look, it's just an anomaly. It just happens to be a coincidence that there's, you know, USC is beating Kansas by 34 points right in the NCAA tournament. I couldn't have written that one for you.
Matthew Gutierrez joins us from the Athletic Talk NCAA tournament. Gonzaga was the favorite going into this thing. They're still the favorite now. If there's a team that has the elements to beat Gonzaga, have you found it in the teams that are remaining?
I mean, Alabama's kind of there. They've shown some spurts. Michigan, you'd like to think, maybe has that chance. That's really all that, you know, sticks out to me. I mean, Gonzaga has been really good. I mean, credit to Oklahoma, by the way, for playing really well this weekend. But for sure, I think it's those teams. I mean, I guess a lot of people would say Baylor as well. Baylor handled Wisconsin by 13. Baylor hasn't quite been their dominant self since their COVID pause, so that is just something to keep an eye on. Look, Gonzaga is certainly the team to beat. They're so efficient on offense, lethal in transition. They hit the threes. They defend well. They're just a really tough matchup. They have the size. They have the athletes. So that's it. As we've seen the past 2 days, anyone can kind of pop at you, even for just a half, and make things super interesting. So I think out of anyone, it's probably Alabama and Michigan with the best shot here down the stretch.
Syracuse once again making a run. This is what Boeheim does when he barely gets into this thing, and then he uses it to his advantage. In terms of their ability to go far, their game against Houston's going to be tough, but have you seen something in the two games with Syracuse that goes, look, they might have one of those 2016 Final Four runs in them?
I mean, they might. Their region, I'm sure you've seen it, right? I mean,
yeah.
Houston is a solid team, but Houston does not play the schedule that Syracuse plays as far as, you know, ACC and others. Syracuse has made, you know, now 3 Sweet 16s the last 5 years, so they know how to win at this point. And, you know, I don't know how great Houston will be against that 2-3 zone. A lot of ACC teams are a lot better at it just because they play it 2-3 times a year, right? So I think that factors into why Syracuse is only a 500 team in a regular season. They're playing the same teams over and over. And then you get to the dance. San Diego State, a great team, was perplexed by the zone. I mean, just deer in the headlights. West Virginia was much better against the zone, almost won, lost by 3, but still took them a while. They didn't execute early. Culver, their big man in the middle, just was lost against the zone. I think teams tend to overthink it. They might overthink the 3-point shot and that they have to make a lot of threes. Well, that's not necessarily the case, right? You just want to move the ball, get it inside, and Syracuse has done a really good job of just locking down on D. This team wasn't very good defensively for most of the year, so that's a credit to them turning it around. But, I mean, look, they get by Houston. You know, they might have like a Houston, Loyola, Chicago next 2 games here, let's just say. And, hey, I mean, both teams are good, but both teams are very beatable, and there is a path in the Midwest region for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I mean, look, you can define how these 4 teams in the Midwest all got there, but Syracuse is not the bottom of these teams. I mean, you can mix this up. I mean, they're as capable of beating Houston as and beating Loyola as Loyola is capable of beating them.
For sure. Loyola's a really good team. Yeah, not as you know, right?
Sure.
Not to discredit them at all. I mean, as a not a brand name, of course. They did have the incredible run a couple years ago. I think I saw a couple coaches even this weekend say they're not really a Cinderella store anymore. They are a legit good team, right? So, I think they probably still are a Cinderella in my view, but you get their point, right? There's just credit to Loyola Chicago. They really defend. They move the ball well. They're a really good team. So I think it's almost a toss-up in that region. Illinois is out. So you know, Houston, Loyola, Chicago, Syracuse, a couple teams there that could certainly sneak into that. You know, I don't even want to say, we can't say Indy because everything's an Indy, but that final weekend and you know, make that run. So obviously there's going to be some really good teams waiting there, but to just get, you know, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four is a really good feat.
Matthew, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Hope to get you on again. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, man.
You got it. Matthew Gutierrez of The Athletic on our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. All right. Some thoughts on that and the matchups that you'll see Saturday and Sunday, including one in particular. If you're going to see one go down, could it be from a former champ? That's next as we continue with Wake Up Call.